Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live down the internet from London. This show is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we will be discussing the final part of our four-part series. We will be warning listeners about the dangers of the religious system of Satan worship. More about our subject after we've had some music.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me.
Beware of Satan worship. We will discuss this subject tonight with answers from the Bible. Have a pen and paper ready to write down some notes. Tonight, listeners, we'll be discussing these questions together. What is Satan worship? When did Satan worship start? Why is Satan worship so dangerous? How is Satan worship seen today? And how do we escape the influence of Satan worship? So before we start our study this evening, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again this week for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet from London. As we study your word this evening, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us and to teach us and to impress our minds and hearts with eternal truth is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what is Satan worship? We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verses 7 to 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We read in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? We read in Matthew chapter 4 and verses 8 to 10, Again the devil taketh him up, this is Jesus, into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan worship is the same as Lucifer worship, devil worship, serpent worship, and dragon worship. This is because Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the serpent, and the dragon are all names for the one and the same being. This being is the mighty angel who rebelled against the government of God. He was originally called Lucifer. The name Lucifer means light bearer. Next to Christ, Lucifer had been the most honored of God and was highest in power and glory among the inhabitants of heaven. Lucifer, son of the morning, was first of the covering cherubs, holy and undefiled. He stood in the presence of the great Creator, and the ceaseless beams of glory enshrouding the eternal God rested upon him. Lucifer, the light bearer, the sharer of God's glory, the attendant of his throne, by transgression became Satan, the adversary of God and holy beings, and the destroyer of those whom heaven had committed to his guidance and guardianship. But Michael, which is another name for Christ, see Jude chapter 1 verse 9, Michael and his angels fought against Satan and his angels. And after losing the war in heaven against Christ, Satan was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast with him. We read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. We read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To worship Satan is to worship the being who sinned and transgressed God's law from the beginning. It is to worship the being that, through self-seeking, brought death into the universe. Only one equal with the law could die for the law and meet the demands of the penalty for its transgression. And only one with infinite love and power could restore man from his evil, fallen, sinful condition to reflect God's perfect love once more. Jesus, out of infinite love for man, chose to give his life to save repentant sinners, as he, being man's creator and life giver, was the only one who could atone for man's sins and save him from ruin. Therefore, to worship Satan, listeners, is to worship sin. All who follow Satan will live a sinful, selfish life that will eventually bring death and ruin. We read in Luke chapter 22 and verses 40 to 42. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, this is Jesus once more, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Let us look again, listeners, at the spirit that lies at the foundation of Satan worship. When the spotless majesty of heaven, Jesus Christ, was dying in the Garden of Gethsemane, because of the weight of the sins of the whole world being placed upon him, and even more so because of the separation from his Father's love, even though he was under such keen suffering, Christ still surrendered his will and his life to his Father. Such was the love that Christ had for God, and such was Christ's love towards sinners. Contrast now the Spirit of God the spirit of Satanists. One of the most well-known Satanists in recent history, Aleister Crowley, summed up the core of satanic religion as, do as thou will shall be the whole of the law. Here we see that rather than denying self and being willing to die in loving obedience to God's law, the spirit of Satan is to indulge oneself, make your own law, and disobey God, whatever the consequences. All who worship Satan, therefore, like their master, put the commandments of men before the commandments of God. Satanic religion, therefore, as we have studied in previous radio broadcasts, is the worship of the creature and not the creator. It is to follow one's own selfish desires and to worship anyone or anything other than the true God. Now, when did Satan worship start? We read in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. As we have studied over the past 3 radio broadcasts, and reiterate today, mankind began worshipping Satan through Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They distrusted God and believed in Satan's lie that man can reach a higher sphere of existence and become as a god and live forever when he disobeys God and his creator, Jesus Christ. Eve put her desires first. She allowed Satan to deceive her, and she imagined that through disobedience she was feeling the sensations of a new and more exalted life. Adam was not deceived, as was Eve, but he was influenced by her to do as she had done. Eat and risk the consequences, since no harm, she said, had come to her. Adam then permitted himself to be seduced by the experience of his wife. He could not endure to be separated from her. He ate and fell from his integrity. Secret society writers also testify that the mystery religions, which are forms of satanic religion, come from the Garden of Eden. We will quote once more from page 156 of the book called The Trail of the Serpent by Merle Vance. One secret society writer has declared that all the mysteries have their origin beneath the branches of the tree of knowledge, and it appears that no truer words were ever written. Every thread in the worldwide fabric of sun, serpent, devil worship appears to have been spun in the shade of the same tree, as the design in the cloth appears to have been worked out by the master deceiver himself. Though man's language was confused at the Tower of Babel, each little group, as it left, appears to have carried forth the blueprints of the six sects, serpent, devil worship drawn by Satan himself. Since the Garden of Eden, Satan has been determined to efface the image of God from the human posterity and to trace his own image upon the soul in the place of the divine image. He adopted methods of deception by which to accomplish his purpose. He is called the father of lies, an accuser of God and of those who maintain their allegiance to God, a murderer from the beginning. He put forth every power at his command to win Adam and Eve to cooperate with him in apostasy and succeeded in bringing rebellion into our world. Through generation after generation, from age to age, Satan has gathered human agencies through whom to work out his diabolical purposes and to bring about the enforcement of his plans and devices in the earth. The great putrid fountain of evil has become continually flowing through human society. Though unable to expel God from his throne, Satan has charged God with satanic attributes and has claimed the attributes of God as his own. Through his serpentine sharpness, through his crooked practices, he has drawn to himself the homage that human beings should have given to God and has planted his satanic throne between the human worshipper and the divine father. And so why is Satan worship so dangerous? We read in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Jesus says, and this is here speaking to the Jews at this time, "Ye are of the father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." We read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer have eternal life abiding in him." Jesus makes it known to us that the devil, Satan, was the murderer from the beginning. Murder first exists in the mind. He who gives hatred a place in his heart is setting his feet in the path of the murderer, which is the path that Satan first went upon. It was the hatred that Satan had in his heart towards Jesus Christ that eventually led him to inspire the Jews to reject the Messiah and to place him on the cross. We read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." It is a sin to cherish anger against a brother or a sister in the church. Christ treats anger as murder. He declares, "I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, and oh, how much of there is this in the church today? Then Jesus says, they shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Listeners, God has a controversy with that man. He thinks he has an occasion for feeling angry for calling his brother Raca or vain fellow, but these passionate words are a savour of death unto death. He who utters them is not cooperating with God, but with Satan. We will have a break for some music and continue with our study afterwards.
Greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God, how rich and
in Revelation chapter 12 and verses 13 to 17. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Listeners, the substitution of the precepts of men for the commandments of God has not ceased. Even among Christians are found institutions and usages that have no better foundation than the traditions of the fathers. Such institutions, resting upon mere human authority, have supplanted those of divine appointment. Men cling to their traditions and revere their customs and cherish hatred against those who seek to show them their error. The Word of God declares that the followers of Christ will be called upon to endure trials for the sake of truth. Says the prophet, "The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Jesus was treated as the worst of malefactors, and the servant is not greater than his Lord. Said the Saviour, "These things they will do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them." And so the reason that Satan worship is so dangerous is because Satan does not only lead those who follow him to an eternal death, as through disobedience they refuse to accept the salvation that Jesus offers. Satan's followers are also led to persecute and kill those who are righteous and serving the true God in this world. The same spirit that prompted rebellion in heaven still inspires rebellion on earth. Satan has continued with men the same policy which he pursued with the angels. His spirit now reigns in the children of disobedience. Like him, they seek to break down the restraints of the law of God and promise men liberty through transgression of its precepts. Reproof of sin still arouses the spirit of hatred and resistance. When God's messages of warning are brought home to the conscience, Satan leads men to justify themselves and to seek the sympathy of others in their course of sin. Instead of correcting their errors, they excite indignation against the reprover as if he were the sole cause of difficulty. From the days of righteous Abel to the time of our own, such is the spirit which has been displayed toward those who dare to condemn sinlessness. Now, how is Satan worship seen today? We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Cast out of heavenlessness, Satan set up his kingdom in this world, and ever since he has been untiringly striving to seduce human beings from their allegiance to God. He uses the same power that he used in heaven, the influence of mind on mind. The Apostle Paul in the book of Timothy explains how the spiritual fruits of those who worship Satan are manifest in the Christian church today. Over the past three radio broadcasts, we have studied into the religion of sun, sex, and serpent worship. We have seen that from the Garden of Eden, the mystery religion was revived after the flood through Nimrod and Semiramis and spread all over the world. It was passed down from Babylon to Medo-Persia to Greece, then to pagan Rome. We learned that today, the mystery of religion has its headquarters now from pagan Rome in papal Rome. We learned how Satan has used and is still using the Jesuits to infiltrate all aspects of society and to unite the world under a one world satanic government. Through the serpent-like influence of Satan, men become tempters of their fellow men. The strong corrupting sentiments of Satan are cherished and they exert a masterly compelling power. Under the influence of these sentiments, men bind up with one another in confederacies. Listeners, in these days when skepticism and infidelity so often appear in a scientific garb, we need to be guarded on every hand. Through this means, our great adversary is deceiving thousands and leading them captive according to his will. The advantage he takes of the sciences which pertain to the human mind, is tremendous. Here, serpent-like, he imperceptibly creeps in to corrupt the work of God. The Lord of Heaven permits the world to choose whom they will have as ruler. Let all read carefully the 13th chapter of Revelation, for it concerns every human agent, great and small. Every human being must take sides, either for the true and living God, who has given to the world the memorial of creation in the seventh-day Sabbath, or for a false Sabbath instituted by men who have exalted themselves above all that is called God or that is worshipped, who have taken upon themselves the attributes of Satan in oppressing the loyal and true who keep the commandments of God. This persecuting power will compel the worship of the beast by insisting on the observance of the Sabbath he has instituted. This, he blasphemes God, this man of sin, which is the Pope of Rome, the position of the papacy, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. And again, listeners, we point you back to our series of broadcasts about the Antichrist, where we line by line, precept by precept, show that the Bible reveals that the Antichrist system is the system of the papacy, headed as its front, and at its front, the Pope of Rome. Now, this worship of the false Sabbath, this child of the papacy, is a wedge that split the Protestant churches from God and left them naked. They had not a text of scripture to sustain their false God, but yet a deception, Sunday worship, to worship on the pagan day of the sun. Hoary with age, but still a deception, was commanded to reverence and exalted, while the Sabbath of the fourth commandment was trampled upon and God dishonored. The Bible was before them a plain thus saith the Lord, and the penalty that is the part of the transgressor. But as Adam and Eve in Eden listened to the falsehoods of Satan, so the righteous world today are following the example. So how do we escape the influence of Satan worship? We read in Revelation chapter 14 and verses 6 to 12. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever, as they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. We also read in Revelation chapter 18 and verses 1 to 4. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich with the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Listeners, God is now sending the three angels' messages to the world as a final warning to the inhabitants of the earth to worship the true God and Jesus Christ whom he had sent. In order to understand what these three angels' messages means, then we invite listeners to listen to our series of podcasts that explain them. God is calling his people out of satanic religion as a whole, but especially the satanic religion that is now under the disguise of Christianity, as primarily seen in the Roman Catholic Church, and secondarily through her daughters, the Protestant churches that have morally fallen through accepting her teachings of sun, sex, serpent, and Satan worship. These three messages are God's final call to a sinful and guilty world. And it is vitally important for every single person listening to this broadcast to understand clearly what these messages from God mean to them personally at this present time. All should understand the truths contained in these messages, for they are essential to salvation. The third angel is represented as flying in the midst of heaven, symbolizing the work of those who proclaim the first, second, and third angel's messages. All are linked together. The evidences of the abiding, ever-living truth of these grand messages that mean so much to us, that have awakened such intense opposition from the religious world, are not extinct. Satan is constantly seeking to cast his hellish shadow about these messages, so that the remnant people of God shall not clearly discern their import, their time and place. But they live and are to exert their power upon our religious experience while time shall last. We'll have another break for some music, and this is we'll come back with our closing thoughts.
Lord is lifted up above. God's holiness remains. The Lord is lifted up, all creation joins in praise. The Lord is lifted up, every nation stands. His works declare His word. God's works declare His word. The Lord is lifted up, all creation joins in praise. The Lord
listeners, as we come to the end of this four-part series called Beware of Sun, Sex, Serpent, and Satan Worship, I pray that each and every person who has listened to either one or all four messages will realize the magnitude of this evil that resides upon this earth. Let us look into our own lives and hearts and see if we believe in or are practicing any of this satanic Babylonian mystery religion. I will read from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, pages 14 to 16 to close. Satan is working to the utmost to make himself as God and to destroy all who oppose his power. And today, the world is bowing before him. His power is received as the power of God. The prophecy of the revelation is being fulfilled that all the world wandered after the beast. Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. Men in their blindness boast of wonderful progress and enlightenment, but to the eye of omniscience are revealed the inward guilt and depravity. The heavenly watchers see the earth filled with violence and crime. Wealth is obtained by every species of robbery. Not robbery of men only, but of God. Men are using his means to gratify their selfishness. Everything they can grasp is made to minister to their greed. Avarice and sensuality prevail. Men cherish the attributes of the first great deceiver. They have accepted him as God and have become imbued with his spirit. But the cloud of judicial wrath hangs over them, containing the elements that destroyed Sodom. In his vision of things to come, the prophet John beheld the scene. This demon worship was revealed to him, and it seemed to him as if the whole world was standing on the brink of perdition. But as he looked with intense interest, he beheld a company of God's commandment-keeping people. They had upon their foreheads the seal of the living God, and he said, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, save the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. It's Revelation chapter 14, verses 12 to 19. Listeners, when the storm of God's wrath breaks upon the world, it will be a terrible revelation for souls to find that their house is being swept away because it is built upon the sand. Let the warning be given them before it is too late. We should now feel the responsibility of laboring with intense earnestness to impart to others the truth that God has given for this time. We cannot be too much in earnest. The heart of God is moved. Souls are very precious in his sight. It was for this world that Christ wept in agony. For this world he was crucified. God gave his only begotten Son to save sinners, and he desires us to love others as he has loved us. He desires to see those who have a knowledge of the truth imparting this knowledge to their fellow men. Now is the time for the last warning to be given. There is a special power in the presentation of the truth at the present time. But how long will it continue? Only a little while. If ever there was a crisis, listeners, it is now. So listeners, with all this in mind, let us now have a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to present these messages, warning people to beware of sun, sex, serpent, and Satan worship. Lord, as you've written in your word, the whole world lieth in wickedness. There's only a remnant of good people slowly but surely being left upon the earth. I pray that each and every one of us who are listening will do all in our power, the power, Lord, that we pray that you will, in your mercy, impart to us. If our hearts are true to you, and if we're being willing to be true to you, Lord, so that we can resist the evil that's seeking to destroy us. Let us not party with sin anymore, those who are partying with sin. And let us remember of the great sacrifice that you have made for us, and that you're in the heavenly sanctuary now, Lord, pleading with God the Father to give us time to work with you to overcome every wrong word and thought and action. So bless us, Lord, and I pray once more for those who are especially caught up in the system of this Babylonian mystery religion, wherever they be priests or pastors or elders or nuns, Lord, even Jesuits or anyone who's in an official capacity working in this system ignorantly, I pray, Lord, that they will receive the light of your love and of your truth, and that they will heed the call to come out, my people. And I pray for those who have been called out, Lord, who have a knowledge of this system but who have backslidden and fallen into sin. I pray, Lord, that by your mercy and by your grace, that they would not give up hope, but Lord, but to repent and to start life again. Not to be discouraged by whatever's been said or done, but to get up on their knees and to rise again. Because that's the reason why you're in the heavenly sanctuary, Lord. You're there for us. Let us not let Satan ever blind our minds from the goodness of your love, which, Lord, which has only been extended, as we know, until the time when our earthly probation will close. And listeners, it could be tonight. We may not wake up tomorrow morning. Today, if we hear the Lord's voice, let us not harden our hearts. This is our close and serious time is now. Let us be true to God, and let us be true to each other. So, Lord, I thank you for this message and this series, through the mercy and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions, or if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. You can send a text message to 0794 4062 786. You can also listen to and download our radio show podcasts at https://voice-in-in-the-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcast on Spotify. Search for Voice of the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. And if you would like to support Voice of the Wilderness Internet Radio financially, then please send your donations to our website at vitwradio.org. Click on the page called About Us. You can donate to us there. Well, listeners, that's it for tonight's show. Good night, and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically-based messages live and on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.